up at the valet. Two Teslas, a Maserati, a Ferrari, and a Bentley. Hondo let out a low whistle. So this is where the other half lives. The valet smiled at us as we passed, and some of the rich people getting out of their cars waved like we were old friends. I waved back, but it was super weird to be accepted as one of the elite. We made our way under the striped canopy and across a red carpet into the lobby. Hotel guests and employees nodded and waved. Some said hello. It was like we were movie stars or something. Everything was made out of white marble. Shiny, perfect marble. A massive chandelier hung from the ceiling, which was held up by four glossy round columns. And as strange as it sounds, the lobby smelled like pink. Pink flowers. Pink sugar. Pink berries. Hondo spun in a circle, looking up. Whoa! This place must cost a gazillion bucks a night! Brooks pulled us through the lobby. You know where you're going? I asked. She paused to tighten one of the gold sandal straps that wound all the way up her shin. Jazz gave me directions. We headed to a door marked stairs. Third floor, Brooks said. Hurry! We raced up the staircase. Yeah, that made me feel pretty cool. And when she came to the door for floor three, she stopped. Huracan, huh? So she was still thinking about it. I nodded. You know him? Brooks let out a light laugh. Are you kidding? He's sort of royalty. I mean, you do know he's a creator and a destroyer. I finished. Hondo shoulder bumped me. Don't even try to get me to call you king of anything. You still get dish duty. Brooks pointed to the wall. Here it is. Inscribed, there was a faded image, so faint you'd have to be looking for it to find it. Underneath the word kings was a Maya glyph. What's it mean? I asked.
Sky, Brooks said.
Her voice was on the edge of a tremble.
King Sky?
I muttered, thinking there were some seriously grande egos around here.
You're obsidian, she said with her hand out. Place it there.
She pointed to the center bottom edge of the glyph. I tugged the magician's stone from my pocket. What did Jazz mean about what the twins did to you? And what games was he talking about?
Remember when I told you they were tricksters?
I nodded.
They play head games. They play them expertly, and by the time you know what they've done, you've already lost.
Man, Hondo moaned. I was hoping it would be wrestling or even football. Some kind of contact, head-butting, face-pounding sport.
Didn't they beat the gods in a ball game? I said, remembering the legends from my book.
Pits, Brooks said.
Huh?
Hondo raised his brows.
Basketball, Brooks said, or their version of it. It's their favorite game, and no one's ever beat them.
After everything I'd read and heard, they didn't seem like the kind of guys who played games without stakes.
So what do people play for? Hondo asked.
Most don't play. They know they can't win, so instead they come to trade with whatever they're willing to lose, Brooks said.
What do you mean, trade? I asked.
The twins pretty much only trade in magic.
But I don't have any magic to trade, I thought. It was too late to turn back now. I set the obsidian where Brooks instructed. It locked into place. At first, nothing happened. Then slowly, the door began to glow blue and it creaked open. And we stepped inside.
Chapter 24. In spy movies, all bodyguards are identical, with crisp black suits, massive shoulders, and murderous stares. They even wear their hair slicked back the same way, and their square faces look like they were carved from marble. That's exactly what was waiting for us behind the door. A half dozen guys who could either be pro wrestlers or well-paid thugs. They stood shoulder to shoulder and didn't even blink when we walked into the dim classroom-sized space. I thought maybe the guards didn't breathe either. It was so quiet, except for the bomb, bomb, bomb of a drum so far away I couldn't be sure it wasn't my heartbeat.
Where are we?
Hondo murmured.
Security pit stop, Brooks whispered. Shh, just follow my lead.
In front of us was a ticket booth lit with a sickly yellow glow. There was an opening in the glass, but no ticket taker behind it. Brooks stepped up to the window, set the obsidian stones on the counter, and mumbled some words that were definitely not English. An instant later, a gray-bearded skeleton materialized. Out of thin air. Eyeballs floated in his eye sockets, and he wore a long white tuxedo jacket with a dead red rose pinned to one of his silk lapels.
Hondo gasped. What the?
The bearded skeleton was weird enough, but on his shoulder was a small brown monkey with reptilian eyes. Its long tail thrashed through the air, and it clasped its hairy little paws together like it was smothering something between them.
You have invitation?
The skeleton said with a deep, raspy voice. Brooks pushed the obsidian stones toward him and said, Just let us in, Flacco.
No invitation. No travel to top. Even for you, Flacco said. Then the rules.
Brooks wasn't going to give up so easily. I'll be sure to tell Jordan and Bird you turned away fresh meat. Hondo gave me a sideways glance and mouthed slowly,
Fresh meat? Do you see what I see?
He whispered to me.
That esqueleto's wearing a tux. Seriously, I whispered back. How about the fact he's a living skeleton? Or that he's got an evil little monkey that probably has fangs?
Hondo folded his arms across his chest and leaned closer.
You think it has fangs?
Flacco studied the stones, then handed them back to Brooks.
No entrance with no invitation.
Brooks propped her elbows on the booth.
Listen, Flacco, I lost it. And this is a surprise visit, so I can wish them a happy birthday, in person.
Stroking his silvery beard, the skeleton eyed me.
You a gimp? Is that why you here? You want favor?
Brooks turned to me and whispered,
He can see through the enchantment. It's why he's got this job.
I wanted to whack Flacco upside his bony head, but I held my cool.
He's a magician, Brooks said casually to Flacco. It's part of the birthday surprise.
The monkey clapped and smiled. Its silver chompers were huge, and when it clicked them together, it sent chills down the back of my neck. Flacco eyed us, glanced at the row of guards, then looked back to Brooks and grunted,
Fresh meat. Magic.
He gripped a pen.
They got names?
He asked her, like we weren't even there. Brooks spat out some made-up nicknames.
El Rey and Rana,
she sputtered. Hondo shoulder-bumped me, mouthing,
I'm the king.
I had to admit my uncle looked good tall, but it felt super weird to peer up at him, even if it was only a couple of inches. The monkey screeched, making Hondo and me jump at the same time. Flacco scratched under the little beast's chin.
Neither looks like a king or a frog. Well, maybe that one there.
He was pointing at me with his bony finger.
He might be a frog,
he said with a chuckle.
Rana?
That was the best Brooks could come up with? The skeleton jotted down the names, then reached under the counter.
It's your funeral,
he muttered, as the wall to our right opened with a groan. Before we could go in, three guards stepped forward to pat us down. My stomach roiled when my thug found the jaguar jade and motioned for me to hand it over. Brooks and Hondo peered closer. Holding it up for the guy's inspection, I said, Lucky tooth, except it hasn't been very lucky. I tried to laugh casually, but ended up sounding like a big phony. The guy held up the stone, examined it, then handed it back to me with a grunt. I let out a long breath as I set it safely back in my pocket and entered the opening. When Brooks pressed a button on the wall, I realized we were in an elevator. But it wasn't an ordinary elevator. It was a gold cage illuminated by a pale blue glow. "What's that tooth?" Brooks asked. How could I answer without breaking my promise to Pacific not to tell anyone about her? She never said how long I had to keep the secret, though, so I guess I could have told Brooks that I'd met the Goddess of Time, who was in hiding under the ocean. But it might be dangerous for Brooks to have that kind of information. In the same way she had tried to protect Jazz, I needed to protect her. "I got it from Miss Cab," I said, thinking quickly. "How come I've never seen it before?" Hondo asked. Brooks's eyes bored into me with an intensity that made me dizzy. "So," I said, wanting to change the subject, "Jordan and Bird are the twins?" Yeah, I was a little slow on the uptake. "If they're so tough, why do they use pseudonyms?" Brooks looked up, watching the exposed cables carry us. "They changed their names to fit in when they came to the U.S. I guess they're named after some basketball stars from back in the day." "Best clutch players ever," Hondo mumbled. "What's clutch?" Brooks asked. Hondo glanced at me, then away quickly. They work perfectly under pressure and, they always find a way to succeed at the last possible moment." My mouth went dry. I didn't want to think about the twins' super strengths anymore. Turning to Brooks, I said, "Frog? Really? You know what a group of frogs is called?" she asked. "A herd?" Hondo guessed. I shook my head and adjusted my cuffs. "An army." Brooks smiled softly but kept her gaze straight ahead. Okay, maybe being a frog wasn't so bad after all. A terrible pressure began building in my chest as the elevator climbed. Wait a second. I could have sworn this building wasn't tall, so how? I peered at the buttons for the first time. Instead of numbers, there were dots and lines. 3 dots in a row, a single dot over a straight line. Brooks caught my gaze. "Maya numbers," she explained. "How far up does this thing go?" Hondo wondered aloud. "All the way to the top," Brooks said.
The building is, like, only a couple stories high."
With a shrug, Brooks said, "Magic." The higher we went, the more I worried. What if Brooks was right about the twins? I mean, why would they want to help me? No one gives secrets away for free, and if I wanted their secrets for defeating Apooch, I was going to have to earn them. Except I didn't have anything valuable to trade. The doors pinged open to a domed chamber, and at the center, a huge stone statue of 2 guys, at least 10 feet tall.
"Let me guess," Hondo groaned. "Jordan and Bird."
I drew closer to get a look at their massive muscles, chiseled faces, defiant eyes, and broad shoulders. I'd seen a photo of the statue of David once. That's what this reminded me of, except the twins had clothes on and looked a whole lot meaner. A falcon sat on the shoulder of one of the brothers, its wings spread, ready to take flight. These guys definitely didn't look anything like the illustrations in my book. The statue's eyes were raised like they were encouraging visitors to look up at the domed ceiling. It was brightly lit, and every inch was covered with images of the twins in action, running down a ball court, standing on top of a mountain with spears raised, cutting off the head of a demon runner. This was their story, painted in vivid, full color for all their opponents to see before they walked in. Talk about psychological warfare. Brooks stood in front of a pair of carved wooden doors. Music and chatter boomed from the other side. "Whatever you guys do," Brooks said, "don't make them mad." Hondo bounced in place.
"Yeah, well, maybe they shouldn't make us mad."
"What happens when they get mad?" I asked, not sure I really wanted to know. "They usually throw you off the building," she said, like it was the most normal thing in the world. "Oh," I said, "is that all?" Brooks pushed open the doors. It was Party City. The enormous multi-tiered terrace was packed with people mingling, laughing, and dancing to some really bad techno music that blared from all directions. And they all wore these weird lifelike masks of lions, sharks, snakes, and skeletons. There were palm trees that swayed in the night breeze. A few shirtless fire jugglers flung torches toward the sky. They rotated back down at a frightening speed, casting strange shadows across the oblivious crowd. The sickening smell of kerosene filled the air as my eyes scanned the masked faces. Hondo let out a low whistle.
"Looks like a Halloween party, Capitan. Not a birthday party."
Brooks stepped behind the wall into the shadows. "It's all show. They believe the masks contain the spirit of the animal or whatever they're wearing."
"How come we didn't get one?" Hondo sounded disappointed.
"We got enchantment," I said, thinking that was way cooler than a mask. "He's right." Brooks pressed against the wall like she was hiding. "I doubt anyone here has encantamiento. Too expensive and hard to come by these days. Masks are the next best thing." "Who are all these?" I didn't know what to call them, because I didn't know if they were human.
"Some are human, some supernatural," Brooks said. I took it all in.
There was a massive stone fireplace with roaring flames, and beyond the roof's edge were dozens of skyscrapers. Maybe it was a trick of the light, but they seemed to be wobbling slightly, like they were made of jello. I had a feeling this wasn't an actual view of L.A., but a magically created one.
"Can this be real?" Hondo whispered.
Brooks peered around the corner.
"See that bear-masked guy over there by the waterfall?"
"The skinny one?" I asked.
"Yeah, he's human. Comes every year to ask for help with his music career. The twins have big connections in Hollywood, and most of the people here are looking for access to those. That butterfly girl over there? She probably wants to be a model. And that shark?" She pointed to a short, stout guy. "An actor."
Sounded like she'd spent plenty of time here.
"You said the twins trade in magic?" I said, staying focused.
"But humans don't have magic."
"Sure they do."
I gave her a confused look. Brooks let out a slow breath.
"Dreams? Talents? Love?"
"How are those things magic?"
Hondo loosened his tie.
"In our world, they aren't so easy to come by," Brooks said, "which makes them magic."
"Hang on," I said. "Are you telling me people actually give up their talents?"
She nodded, suddenly looking miserable.
"Say you're really good at wrestling."
She glanced at Hondo to make her point.
"You trade it for something else you want."
"But what if the thing you want is the thing you're good at?" I asked. "Like the singer."
"You get the favor as a loan."
Brooks paused and glanced sideways for a moment.
"Then, when the twins call it in..."
"Bye-bye talent?" Hondo guessed.
"Yep.
Or whatever it is you've traded."
Okay, so that was twisted. To our right was a huge pool with a waterfall cascading over massive boulders. Waiters in skeleton masks and black polo shirts and shorts carried colorful drinks with little umbrellas or offered finger foods and fancy cocktail napkins.
"I'm starving."
Hondo grabbed a skewered shrimp off a passing tray and grinned ear to ear.
"I think I'm going to like it here."
"Don't eat anything, Hondo," Brooks said. "This is not a good place to linger. Let's just get in and get out."
Then came a deep voice. "What's your rush?" Brooks went stone still. I turned, and I knew. It was one of the twins. The guy seemed about 16, was at least 6'5", and had biceps even bigger than Hondo's. Actually, he was almost as sculpted as his statue, and maybe fiercer looking. He winked at Brooks, hooked his arm over her shoulder, and said, "Hello, little sister." Chapter 25. Brooks pushed the guy away from her.
"Back off, Jordan."
Before he could take a bite of his shrimp on a stick, Hondo dropped it.
"You're his sister?"
No way could Brooks have left that massive detail out of all our conversations about these guys.
Jordan smiled.
By marriage.
Brooks gave him a murderous glare.
Not yet. Your sister will come to her senses, Brooks,
Jordan said bitterly. Then, with a shrug, he added,
she doesn't have a choice.
He gave a fake sigh.
So, you like the new place? I designed it myself.
Brooks had a sister? Then I remembered what she'd told my mom, that she was looking for the only family she had left. Was that who she'd been talking about? A glass shattered nearby. People laughed. Jordan leaned closer to Brooks and said casually,
I thought you weren't coming back. Isn't that what you said, little sister?
Brooks shrugged him off her. My mind was hurtling like a comet, ready to burn up in 3, 2, 1. Jordan asked,
who are your friends?
Brooks introduced us, but Jordan didn't shake our hands or smile. He simply took us in with a sneer, like he could see past the enchantment as easily as Flacco had. I immediately decided I hated the guy. I stood straighter, grasping the jade in my pocket. I didn't have time for this dude's small talk, but I also dreaded having to ask him for anything. Hondo looked around.
Any more shrimp left?
Ignoring him, I said to Jordan through clenched teeth, we're here to ask for a favor.
Isn't everyone? Jordan chuckled. But come on. Join the party. It's my birthday. Business can wait.
We followed him to an enclosed cabana near the pool's edge. I whispered to Brooks,
you have a sister?
Later, was all she said. Hondo scrunched up his face as we passed a group of girls singing along to the rap music now blaring across the party.
Who made these guys' playlists?
A line of people wound around the tent, waiting to see the other twin, no doubt. I wondered what all these people wanted and what magic they were willing to trade. A giant twice the size of Jazz stood at the tent's entrance, keeping his gaze on the crowd. He didn't blink, didn't even look at us. His gray suit was a size too big and looked more like an ugly bedspread, which made me feel sort of sorry for the guy. I knew how it felt to have to shop for specials because of some irregularity. What had he been forced to trade to be allowed in with the beautiful people? Inside the tent were purple velvet couches, a bar, 3 crystal chandeliers, plenty of gold-framed mirrors, and Bird. He wore a dark suit and stood in the corner, whispering something to a giggling girl. His eyes locked with Brooks, and unlike smiling Jordan, his face was granite. He waved the girl away and walked over to us. Yeah, he was Jordan's twin, all right. But there was something darker about him, something that made him seem older.
La mitad de Halcón returns,
he said slowly to Brooks, and I could tell he meant the half-hawk comment as an insult.
And you are looking very enchanted, he said, eyeing her from head to toe. You resemble her, you know.
I couldn't wait to get Brooks alone, to find out who slash where her sister was. What the heck had Jordan meant by she doesn't have a choice? Was Brooks' sister being forced to marry him? Brooks fidgeted with her dress and said,
happy birthday.
Then she grudgingly handed Bird her present, a gold-plated seashell Jazz had given us for the occasion. Bird immediately set it aside on a nearby table.
Gold was last year's theme, he said dismissively.
I'd been bullied pretty much my whole life, but this guy, he took first place for jerkhood. Maybe everyone was right. Coming here was a bad idea. I mean, I could abandon this plan and just leave things to chance, hope that the twins would be able to take Apuch down again. But Huracan had said something about Puke recruiting the Yanto triad. The twins wouldn't be ready for that, no matter how much magic they had. And anyway, it wouldn't get me out of my promise to become a soldier of death. That would take me defeating Apuch alone. I had to try.
I had to do whatever it took to increase the odds that the world would remain standing and the people I cared about would stay alive. Bird reached toward a silver platter that held small meatballs on toothpicks. He took one of the hors d'oeuvres and popped it into his mouth.
"You're not here for the party," he said to Brooks.
She glanced at me, then said to Bird, "I'm here to ask for a favor, for my friends."
"Friends?"
Bird echoed, never taking his dark eyes from us.
"Yes, they must be friends for you to return."
He paused, and I couldn't tell if it was for effect or if he really was deciding what to say next.
"What's the favor?"
Jordan threw himself onto one of the sofas and propped his feet on a matching velvet ottoman.
"You can't be serious, Bird. She doesn't deserve a favor after what she..."
Bird raised a hand and immediately silenced his brother.
"Tell us. What do you want?"
I stepped forward. "I'm the one who wants the favor," I said. "I need to know how you defeated Apooch." Some kind of recognition flashed across Bird's face. He adjusted his perfectly pressed cuff. Music boomed. Glasses clinked. Then he looked up at me like all his thoughts had been gathered in this single instant.
"What do you know about Apooch?"
I was about to make up some story, but something told me he'd smell the lie easily and we'd be tossed off the side of the building like Brooks had promised.
"Don't make them mad."
I weighed both options, trying to decide which would make them angrier. A lie, or the fact that I was the one who had freed their nemesis. But if I told them the truth, they'd know I was part God. Brooks's eyes found mine, and I could see her telling me not to do it, to come up with anything but the truth. Hondo got me out of my dilemma. He lifted his chin and hardened his gaze.
"The death dude's bad news," he said to Bird. "He's busted out, and he's ready for revenge."
I nodded. "He's in L.A. He knows you're here, and he's coming for you." Surely they'd appreciate the warning, and it would earn me something more than shrimp on a stick.
"Your intel is a day late," Jordan laughed. "We've got the best of the best posted everywhere, and we've shielded the place with more magic than..."
He stopped, then added,
"Apooch is too stupid to find our new digs. And even if he did find us, we don't need your help, human. We're God-born. Or didn't you know that?"
Crap. What was plan B? Did I even have one? My palms started to sweat, and my tie was choking me, but I had to keep my cool.
"Yeah, we know all about the myths," Hondo said.
I shot him a glare to remind him not to make them mad, but he kept going, like he didn't care if he was tossed off the roof headfirst.
"You think we made up our victories?"
That was Bird. Hondo threw his hands up and shrugged.
"Just saying. I mean, whenever I won a championship, I went home with the gold. Something to prove it."
He glanced around.
"Don't see any trophies or medals, guys."
Was Hondo looking for a fight? I tried to get his attention, to send him the message, "Pump the brakes." Jordan came at him, but Hondo ducked in time, pivoting like a pro. Bird grabbed hold of Jordan while I shoved Hondo back, trying to pin him in place. I was furious. He was going to blow this. What was his problem? Brooks pushed at a braid.
"Word on the street is," she began, "your story is made up, that you had help in defeating Apooch, that you stole your magic."
And she went in for the kill, kind of like now.
"Stole?" Jordan said. She'd struck a nerve. Every stupid twitch in his face said so.
"We've got raw power," Bird asserted,
almost as though he were trying to convince himself, not Brooks.
"And our magic is legitimate."
He stopped suddenly, like he'd realized it was beneath him to argue with a half-breed. I finally caught on. Hondo and Brooks were playing with their egos, not appealing to their logic like I had planned. It was brilliant. Clearly the twins weren't going to give up anything for free. I hated to even think it, but Hura Khan was right. Still, there had to be a way to get the answer out of them. Everyone has a weakness, even the best clutch players in history. Hondo had always told me to measure your opponent when you step into the ring, or in my case, school. Find the soft spot and go after it with all you've got. And weakness of the heart or mind, he'd said, is more perilous than any physical weakness. The twins were physically powerful, more than we ever could be, but they obviously needed human magic to sustain their power, and that was their weakness. Legitimate? I said. Then why do you have to take it from people? Yeah, said Hondo. If you're so powerful, why do you have to steal anything?
You're a pathetic has-been, Jordan said to Hondo, and no amount of enchantment is going to hide that.
Hondo half grunted, half laughed.
Prove we're has-beens. And how would you propose we do that?
Bird's eyes flicked to his brother, and they shared a this-is-going-to-be-fun smile. The giant guard poked his head into the tent.
Crowd's getting restless. Ready for another applicant?
Jordan motions for him to let the next person in line come forward.
Hold that thought,
he said to Bird. A tall, willowy man with a grasshopper mask entered, walking toward the twins slowly, like he was approaching some almighty throne. When he got close enough, he bowed. Bowed.
My lords, I thank you for your generosity, for seeing me.
My lords? Was he kidding?
Take off your mask, Bird ordered.
The man did as instructed. The right side of his face was pitted and melted, as if he'd been eaten by fire.
Bird,
Brooks said through gritted teeth, but he ignored her, keeping his dark gaze on the guy.
Let me guess, Jordan said,
popping a meatball into his mouth. He threw the toothpick at the man.
You want us to get rid of that hideous face of yours?
The man kept his head down, like he was afraid to look into the twins' eyes.
I have a daughter. She plays piano, like an angel, but I do not have the money for lessons. No one will hire me, and I thought you could help me get a job, so I could pay for her to learn from the best, so she could be famous someday.
Bird spoke to the man, but kept his eyes on me.
And what do you have to trade?
I clutched the jade tooth. Something burned deep in my chest. Brooks went to the man, kneeled next to him, and said,
Don't do it. Please.
Jordan watched Brooks as he passed the meatballs to my uncle. Hondo took one and bit it off the toothpick. Then he grimaced, like he'd just sucked on a lemon. His eyes met mine, and he shook his head and mouthed, Nasty. The man looked up for the first time.
My daughter is very beautiful. You can have her beauty.
No way, Hondo blurted. What's wrong with you? This poor hombre had nothing to lose and everything to lose, and I knew how he felt. The only difference between him and me was that he was willing to trade someone else's future instead of his own.
Guys, I said to the twins, just give this man a break. If I were king, I'd outlaw every bully on the planet, I thought.
Done,
Jordan said. But he was talking to the applicant, not to me. The man bowed again and again as he backed up.
Thank you, my lords. Thank you.
Do you see?
Bird said to us, brandishing his arm in front of him.
Does it look like we steal? No. They give willingly.
He motioned for the giant to take the man away.
So that was it?
No contract? No handshake? No blood for the gods? Rage burned inside my skull. Brooks was wrong. These guys weren't selfish, obnoxious jerks. They were pure evil. Maybe even worse than Apooch himself. Oh, God. Had I wasted a moon on them?
So, where were we?
Bird asked. Hondo balled his fists. How about I smash your face in? I agreed with Hondo, but one of us had to stay sane. You were going to prove we're has-beens, I said.
What are you offering?
Bird asked me with a stupid twisted grin, like he knew I was the one who had something to trade. Play us in a game, I said. Prove we're pathetic humans. If we win, you give us your secret to defeating Apooch.
Jordan stretched his arms over his head and sighed. You think we'd share our title? Is he serious? He asked Bird.
If they only knew I was a god born too, and not just related to any god, but Hurakan, the creator and destroyer. A part of me wanted to tell them I was the Stormrunner, to wipe those smug looks off their perfectly chiseled faces, but I couldn't. I might as well put up a billboard advertising myself to the gods. A strange emptiness filled me as I thought about the second consequence. If anyone found out who I was, they'd know it was my dad who broke the sacred oath. Why the heck should I care what happened to him anyway? I didn't even know the guy.
And if you lose? Bird asked.
If we lose, you can have this. I took the Jaguar Jade from my pocket. I could have easily traded the stone straight out, but it was worth fighting for. I had to give myself a chance at keeping the one thing that connected me to answers, to Hurakan.
Where'd you get that?
Jordan closed the distance.
Bird eyed it greedily. Ancient magic, he whispered. Who gave this to you?
We all have our secrets, I said, avoiding Brooks's glare. Bird didn't take his eyes off it.
This can be infused with the desire of the giver.
Say what? Hondo said.
A conduit of pure magic,
Bird said, and there was a tremor in his voice.
Whoever gives the jade away can give it any power. I haven't seen a magic stone like this in centuries.
I closed my hand over the jade, relieved it was as valuable as I thought. But why hadn't Hurakan told me how powerful it was? Maybe I could give it to Hondo or Brooks and tell it to make us indestructible. Or maybe I could give Brooks back her shape-shifting ability. All of a sudden, I didn't want the twins to have a chance at it. Bird snapped his attention back to me.
You win, you get our secret. We win, we get this. Deal?
I'm in the game too, Brooks said, tilting her chin proudly. Jordan tried to hide his smile.
You, Alcon Mitad? That's 3-2, Bird said sarcastically. Hardly fair.
Jordan whispered something to Bird I couldn't hear. I only caught gone soon.
That's the deal, Brooks ground out angrily.
And we get to pick the game, I said.
I could take these guys down in the ring, Hondo muttered under his breath. How about that for a game? No way, Jordan said. We pick or no deal.
I stuffed the jade back in my pocket, knowing they'd never give in, and neither would we, and we didn't have time for a staring contest.
We'll flip for it, I said. Like a coin?
Jordan's eyebrows shot up. Brooks put her hand on my shoulder.
Don't do it. They'll win. They always win.
I'd come too far, and I needed their secret if I was going to stand a chance against Apooch. Hurakan had said I'd have to be smart and brave, that things were going to be inconceivable. I was desperate for every piece of intel I could get. My stomach turned as Bird pulled an obsidian stone from his pocket. He held it up, showing me one side etched with a symbol for death. On the other side was a symbol for Jaguar.
Death or Jaguar, human? Bird asked.
At the same moment, Pacific's words found me. One choice can lead to victory, the other to defeat. Hondo chuckled.
Seems like a no-brainer.
He was right. Statistically speaking, most people would have called Jaguar. And if the twins really were the tricksters history made them out to be, I had only one choice. Bird kept his dark gaze on me.
Call it.
He flipped the stone into the air, and as it tumbled down, I whispered,
Death.
Chapter 26. The black stone twisted in slow motion, landing with a dry little kerthud on the rug. Bird didn't even wait for the result. He unbuttoned his coat and peeled it off.
Slam it is.
I hurried over, blinked. The face of the jaguar looked up at me, smiling like he knew all along he was going to win. I picked up the obsidian stone, weighing it in my palm to be sure.
I knew it. You tricked me. How could I have been so stupid?
Bird narrowed his eyes.
Tricked.
There wasn't a question mark after the word.
What do you mean?
Hondo asked me. The death side is heavier, I argued, holding the black shiny stone up to the light. Bird held back a smile. I took a few steps toward him, but Jordan blocked my path and grabbed me by the jacket collar. He sniffed the air and his eyes narrowed. He reached into my coat pocket. I tried to squirm free, but the guy was strong. He pulled out the little bottle of chocolate and smiled.
Holding out on us, human? Check it out, Bird. Liqueur for the gods.
His gaze cut back to me.
What are you doing with something like this?
This guy was a bully. A stupid, rotten bully. I clenched my jaw and leaned closer. It's poison. I should have stopped there. Should have kept my mouth shut. But oh no, I had to keep going. Want some? Brooks said,
come on, guys. Let's play some ball.
Jordan let me go and laughed as he twisted off the cap and took a whiff.
Smells like a new blend. Hints of cherry?
Bird came over and sniffed it, too. You really shouldn't drink any, I said as the panic started to settle in. It really is poison. These jerks were about to drink my backup plan.
I've got a nose for poison, Jordan said, and this drink is clean. Besides, what part of Godborn don't you get?
Then he tilted his head back and guzzled it down. I held my breath. I think we all did.
Didn't save a drop for me?
Bird smirked. With a shrug, Jordan tossed the bottle on the floor, shattering the glass.
Wasn't that good anyway?
I still wasn't breathing, expecting him to go all mannequin stiff on me. But nothing happened. How come he wasn't freezing up? He'd just drunk La Muerte. Jordan snatched the obsidian from my hand.
See you on the court, human.
Then he looked at Hondo and said,
you probably won't make it that far.
And they walked out of the tent. Hondo lunged, but I held him back.
Hey! Save it for the court.
A minute later, a voice boomed over a loudspeaker.
Ladies, gentlemen, giants and monsters, come watch the twins kill a couple of pathetic humans in a game for the ages. Slam!
A huge roar erupted, followed by what sounded like an elephant stampede.
Kill the humans? I asked Brooks.
A weird sound came from Hondo, like a growl.
Hey, you okay?
I asked him.
You look...
I couldn't finish the sentence, because what I wanted to say is he looked like a deranged murderer. His eyes had gone black, and his cheeks were super rojas.
Oh, God, Brooks said. Did you eat anything in here?
She asked Hondo, looking around frantically.
I told you not to.
A meatball that tasted like slimy raw fish, he answered in a slurred voice. Actually, I think there were some bones in it. Totally wanted to spit it out, but...
Brooks hurried over to the tray.
These aren't meatballs.
Her tone told us this wasn't going to be good.
They,
Just say it, Hondo spat.
They're sort of like human steroids. They enhance the twin strength, but they're actually... They're poisonous to humans.
What do you mean, poisonous? My voice rose.
It's nothing. I mean, it's...
Tell us, I said.
She took a deep breath.
Hondo will get super mad, like hit rage level. Then, he'll sort of see things that aren't there. Then...
She twisted her mouth to the side.
Then what?
Hondo said.
You'll puff up like a blowfish, then go into a deep sleep.
Sleep's good,
Hondo muttered. Brooks spoke softly, and I could tell she didn't want to say any of this.
It's not exactly sleep. You'll have nightmares, and it might feel like someone's peeling off your skin. But you've got this, Hondo. You're a tank, and we'll be with you the whole time.
Hondo's tough guy veneer was starting to crack.
Yeah, I've been through worse.
His mouth twitched. Or was that a tremble?
I didn't care how many beatings he'd taken. This one would be the worst. And something about that split my heart into a million pieces. This was all my fault. I never should have let him come.
How long will he be asleep? I hated the panic in my voice.
Everyone's different.
But the enchantment, I was grasping.
You said, which is why he won't die. But this stuff is powerful, Zane. Even the enchantment can't stop it.
Hondo cursed under his breath.
That lousy little... He did this to me!
Knowing them, Brooks said, it's their way of taking you out of the game. I'm sorry. I should have been paying attention.
Not your fault, Hondo said through gritted teeth.
I could tell he was already fighting whatever was inside of him.
Forget it, I hollered. We have to get him out of here.
You made the deal, Brooks said.
You can't leave until you play.
We didn't shake on it, I argued.
You didn't have to. The second you agreed to it, it was binding.
Like my deal with a pooch. Brooks looked at Hondo and said,
try to sweat as much as you can. It'll help.
We made our way to the court a couple of levels above the main terrace, weaving among a crowd that was eager to watch us get killed. We decided not to wear the jerseys and shorts the twins had given us. Even though our enchanted clothes wouldn't be as comfortable, their enhancements more than made up for it. On the way up the ramp, Brooks filled us in about the game. It was like basketball, but with trampolines under each 15-foot-high net and basically zero rules, which pretty much meant that fists and teeth were allowed.
I don't want you to get hurt, I said to Hondo. I mean, more than you already are.
He grunted.
Don't worry about me, guapo. Just take care of yourself.
I rolled up my sleeves, trying not to think about what was at stake, but it was impossible. If we lost the jade, my ability to talk to Huracan would be gone. I was already leaving without my plan B for defeating Puke, and now I might leave without even a plan A. That meant I was headed to Hell's basic trading camp. And worse, the whole world could be destroyed. For a half of a second, I actually considered traveling back to the empty, asking good old Dad what to do. But there wasn't time, and I for sure wasn't in a place where I could safely leave my body behind. How much longer until the you-know-what wears off? I hated even having to ask, because that meant acknowledging the fact that my leg was going to go back to gimp status soon.
30 minutes,
Brooks said glumly. A vicious horn blared, followed by that same booming voice.
Player zero, less than zero, and double zero, report to the court for your beheading.
Laughter.
Slam is a blood sport. Don't hide out now.
More laughter.
I'm going to feed that dude's head to the crowd if he doesn't shut it, Hondo said.
Hold on to that anger, Brooks said. Maybe we can use it to our advantage.
A hot fury stirred inside of me, and with each step, I felt all the gods' lies and secrets trailing us like heavy shadows. At the top of the ramp, I nearly stumbled as I took in the scene in front of us. The court was a ginormous stadium built of massive stones. Its walls sloped inward, and hanging at the top were stone rings, like in the illustrations in my Maya book, except these had anaconda-sized red snakes dangling from them. Hondo groaned.
I hate snakes. Those are snakes, right?
Yeah, I said. Let's try to stay away from the walls.
Good idea, Brooks added, because those snakes eat humans.
Of course they did.
Hondo stretched his neck and popped his knuckles. If I die, make sure you don't bury my bones in the backyard next to Nana.
No one's going to die, I offered, but we all knew those were empty words. Heck, I've never even played basketball. I'd tried a couple times, but my shorter leg didn't exactly make me layup material. Other than the stone walls and creepy snakes, it looked like a standard basketball court. At each end was a basket with a backboard behind it and a mini trampoline underneath. Okay, how hard could it be? Get past the dirt bags, fly into the net, and slam dunk the ball. And according to Brooks, whichever team scored 5 baskets first won.
Where did all these spectators come from? I asked.
Optical illusion, Brooks said. Looks like tens of thousands, to intimidate you. But really there's only 100 or so.
Who cares about the people? Hondo said. Look at the size of those snakes!
Bird and Jordan were suited up in black jerseys and shorts, running back and forth, dribbling, slamming the ball like it was nothing, catching air like they had wings.
We have to pass the ball every 5 steps so no one can just run it in, Brooks said. It's going to take all of us to win. We have to work together.
I wondered how we were going to manage a victory, especially with Hondo out of it. With each second, his pallor was getting grayer, and his skin was so translucent I could see the veins underneath. A minute later, we stood at the center of the court. Jordan spun a black rubber ball on the tip of his finger while wearing his signature stupid smile. Next to him stood the giant guard from the tent.
Do you see those dragons flying up there? Hondo said, looking at the sky.
I turned and whispered so no one else could hear. You're definitely starting to hallucinate.
Oh, Jordan said with fake concern. He's looking pretty sick, don't you think, Bird?
My legs trembled, and heat clawed my throat. It took every ounce of strength I had to build a wall between me and these guys so they wouldn't know what I was thinking. Deep down, I wanted to feed their heads to the snakes, but that wouldn't save Hondo, and it wouldn't get me closer to defeating Apooch. I had to stay focused.
We'll even let you losers go first.
Jordan tossed me the ball. I caught it, barely. It was as heavy as a bowling ball.
How are we supposed to play with this?
We could bring out the ball of daggers, if you'd prefer,
Bird said slowly. No. This one is fine, I said. Jordan leaned closer, hovered, then whispered slowly.
The snakes haven't been fed for a few days.
I swallowed the swelling lump in my throat.
First one's on us, Bird said.
I looked around. The spectators were on their feet. Some were pointing and laughing. First one? I said. Jordan rolled his eyes and said to Bird,
You should explain what head start means to the moron. You can start dribbling, Bird said slowly, or you can stand there staring at the ball.
I didn't need to be invited twice. I took off running. That's right, running. I dribbled like a b-ball king, and to my surprise, the ball bounced lightly. The crowd roared. Hondo was within range, so I tossed him the ball. He ran like a wild man, 1, 2, 3 steps. Just when I thought he was going to pass it back to me, he threw it up into the air like it was on fire. The crowd laughed. Brooks was there in a flash, and as the ball came down, she knocked it to me. I took control of the ball. My legs pounded the court, closer and closer to that basket. Hondo was screaming,
It's going to kill you, Zane! Let it go!
I blocked out his voice, and with each step I thought, Storm Runner, Storm Runner, Storm Runner. With a quick pass to Brooks, I positioned myself ahead of her. All the time I was wondering why the twins weren't coming after us. Brooks raced with the ball,
dribbling lightly before rocketing it to me. But she put a little too much spin on it, and I had to dive onto my belly to catch it. I had so much adrenaline going, I didn't even feel the pain. I rolled to my feet, jumped onto the trampoline, and launched myself into the air. I was flying toward the basket. Up, 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 then slam. The ball swished through the net. I was king of the court. Maybe Bird and Jordan weren't so clutchy after all. But as I came down, the net erupted in flames. Whoa! There was a burst of heat as the fire reached for me. It was like it grew arms and fingers. But the weirdest part? When I landed, okay, crashed and rolled, I wasn't singed, even though the flames had licked my face and hands. The spectators went crazy. Most were on their feet, screaming or chanting, "Zero! Zero! Zero!" That was too easy. The Twins let me score, I thought. I scanned the audience, masked behind the Twins' magic. Hearing "zero" chanted over and over by a gazillion people didn't exactly boost one's confidence. It was another intimidation tactic. A voice behind me said, "That was a gimme." I spun to find Jordan smirking. "To show you what good hosts we can be. Give the crowd a little hope for the underdog. Everyone loves an underdog." "You poisoned my uncle," I said, storming toward him. "I only passed him the plate," Jordan said innocently. Brooks stepped between us. "Not now, Zane," she whispered. "Not here." Bird looked at me, raised a single brow, and said, "Strange." "What? What's strange?" I asked.
"You aren't burned."
"It's 'cause he's fast," Hondo said. "Faster than fire." But that wasn't it. I wasn't faster than fire. My mind went to work quickly, remembering what Huracan had said. He was the god of storms, and something about powerful elements, and fire's an element. So did that mean...
"I see,"
Bird said flatly, like he knew my secret. Hondo inched back. His face and neck were beginning to swell, stretching his gray skin so tight he looked like a pufferfish. Brooks looped her arm in his and mumbled a few words to him, and she looked back to the Twins and said, "I call sudden death." I didn't know what that was, but it sounded like a terrible idea. I grabbed her arm. "What are you doing?" Hondo stepped between Bird and Brooks.
"No way, Capitan,"
he wobbled. Jordan gave a knowing glance to his twin as Bird said,
"You would call sudden death for these losers?"
Brooks tugged the braids out of her hair and clenched her jaw. "Whoever scores next takes it all." She narrowed her eyes, looking fiercer than when she was a hawk, and I nearly shrank back from her glare. Bird and Jordan shuffled their feet, appearing for the first time like they were out of their comfort zone. They went courtside, to come up with their strategy, no doubt, and Brooks spun to face me.
"What are you doing?" I asked.
"Old world rules. If you call for sudden death, the opposing team has to grant it to you. I needed to buy us some time."
"For what?"
30 seconds, Jordan called out.
"Never mind." Brooks's shoulders slumped as her eyes searched the sky. "It's too late."
"What?"
I asked. "I may not be able to shift, but I'm still part hawk and..."
"And what?"
"I picked up his scent."
"His?"
3 seconds later, the world trembled. Fireworks exploded in reds and golds, splitting the sky with every pop and crackle. At first, the crowd laughed and clapped like this was all part of the show. I knew it wasn't. Then slowly, ever so slowly, the sky began to fall bit by bit, like ash. No, not ash. Broken glass. People screamed as shards stabbed them. The crowd scattered, shrieking and cowering. The skyscrapers in the distance began to tremble, threatening to collapse any second. But on the court,